Are you sporting an illegal haircut? Did you get a permit for that haircut?
That's where we'll start the podcast.
Could we see your papers for your haircut?
That's what it's coming to with the police state we're living in right now, right, fellas? Yeah. It's going to be that kind of podcast.
Hey, I woke up in America.
Because I'm proud to be an American living in the
I'm
USA.
I'm going to Floyd's Barbershop because I woke up in America.
When the people that don't like you and you treasure friendships in. Tune in to this podcast. We are official friends.
I forgot the word.
So nice. Oh! Do we get to shit on you?
Yeah, you
for
can.
That?
I give you open opportunity to shit on me. I forgot the words.
Yeah, we're past the point where you guys would give me shit because you wrote it and you don't remember it.
Well, you've been that's doing only it because you fucked it up now. 7 years, 7 times in a row. Josh can have an off day.
Yeah,
give him a break.
I can have a clam every once in a while.
What did you sing, Josh? Well, what did you
know.
Accidentally
I just,
sing?
I started thinking about something else, which happens a lot when I do these podcasts, and then I was like, I don't even. I was just saying words. I was like, yeah, the friends, and they're here.
It's like Kristen Wiig's character on Saturday Night Live. And I got a rat, and I died, and I took it to the Thor.
Howdy, boys.
Hey, fellas. Hi. Good to see you. That's Larry Morgan's voice and Josh Fligger's voice. Hi, I'm Andy Chanley's voice.
I just waved.
Hi.
I just ignored
Hi.
You.
Everybody see me?
God, what an idiot. I'm just all Logie from taking a week off, and that my eating habits just went to crap, and I'm just
awesome.
I'm a big lump.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. Nice.
But I'm back. I'm back from the Redwoods, y'all. Up in the Redwoods.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Before I forget, Sam Farmer's on assignment.
Right.
And quickly before I forget, that cup from this angle looks like it's as big as your head. Is that a particularly large?
It's called forced perspective.
You went to the Redwoods.
Yeah,
where'd you go?
My first week off during this whole thing, and normally, you know, I'd take a couple of weeks off, spread them out over the year, but
what's the point
you know,
now,
when
right?
you're doing everything from home? But I did need a break, and I know I've got fill-in coming up over the holidays, which right now it's 50-50 whether I actually physically go in to do mornings on K-Earth for 2 weeks or if they don't let anybody come in the building. So I'm kind of waiting to see how that goes. But I was just trying to think of some place we could drive to. I think originally, Andy, I'd talked to you about that cabin in the Sequoias you guys went off to.
Yeah.
And then I kind of went a slightly different direction, and I wanted to go just due north. And we ended up someplace we could drive, obviously. And
do you go like Santa Cruz or what?
No, we drove first to Mendocino, which is a place that Charlotte and I have been, but not since Alex was little. He was like maybe 2 last time he was there. And it was really fun to revisit that. I got to listen to our old friend from the Sound, Dred Scott, doing morning drive.
Oh, nice.
In Fort Bragg. Yeah, that's where he is. That's where he's doing mornings now at the coast in Fort Bragg.
Nice.
And I dropped him a line. And if anybody remembers early days of the Sound and you were up in the middle of the night, you heard Dred Scott on 100.3 The Sound.
Yes. And if you ever saw a picture of the studio or photos taken inside the studio, he's responsible for both the lava lamp.
Right.
And that big orange rust-colored tunic or a tapestry that was up on the wall that covered all of the DNA and food splashes that had been up there from the previous radio station. They said they were going to redo that studio, that they were going to refurbish it and totally, you know, redo it. They did every other part of that entire floor of 5900 Wilshire, didn't touch anything in that room.
Nope.
It was disgusting from day one to the bitter end.
But it was Dred who was responsible for giving us that hippie vibe, which in hindsight, I'm glad it never changed, to be honest. I actually think that was perfect.
Yeah, anyway, it was very much like the swamp, you know, from MASH.
Exactly.
There should be a still in the corner of the room and all that shit.
And then, so we stopped in Mendocino, explored there. It's more adorable than ever. And then drove up into Humboldt County and found a beautiful Airbnb in the middle of podunk nowhere, but along the Avenue of the Giants, if you know where that is. Which is where several different groves of redwoods, just amazing. I have never been that far north. I've never been north of Mendocino. I've never explored the redwoods. And this was the perfect time to just kind of say, that's a place we can get to with a splitting it up with a couple of days drive. And I'm so glad we did.
That
it was
awesome.
Delightful.
That's totally something I've been meaning to try to get to go do, because I haven't done that yet. And like you, Larry, for this week, I scheduled my first week off since February of this year.
Yeah. And it felt weird. It took a long time to talk myself into doing that, but we needed a freaking change of environment. Right. I didn't care.
Well, I was like, you know what? There was no reason to take time off, because it's like, well, what are we going to do? We can't really go anywhere, you know? And it's not like, you know, we have a kid too, so we have to find something find something fun for him to do. We just can't go pack up and go in a quiet cabin somewhere.
Yeah. Entertain. Can't go antiquing. Right.
Exactly. So I took off the week after Christmas, and I'm just going to spend like 9 days, and maybe we'll try to figure out some way to get up and go do that, because that sounds like something cool.
I got a great place for you. Ain't too expensive. Beautiful spot. Perfect. And if Owen doesn't mind not having a lot, I mean, there's nothing to do around there except explore the redwoods. But
yeah, exactly. He's into that. He's into like walking around the woods and checking that out. But hit me with the Nintendo Switch. You can go anywhere on the earth now with a Nintendo Switch.
That was the funny thing. We had all sorts of day trip type things planned, and we blew off half of them because we were so happy. This place we stayed in is actually up at a higher elevation. It's got this beautiful view of the Eel River, which it cuts right through there. And you just see green all around you. It looks like just Oregon South, basically.
Awesome.
It was so lovely, and it was maybe more needed. And then we stopped in Napa on the way back and got a little of that snooty wine country out of the way. I haven't revisited that since we were a much younger couple too. It's very strange to go all the way through Napa, stay a night there, and actually not have one sip of wine. That was a weird feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds idyllic, the trip that you took.
Nice.
And Mendocino is also becoming fairly well known as a wine
that
destination.
Alexander Valley? There's a couple of valleys up that direction which are becoming very well known for, I mean, it's nothing after you start, even here around where I live in Cambria, you start with Paso Robles, and everything north that has a valley, they've got vineyards growing, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But it did hit me how amazing Napa is, Napa and Sonoma, how really gorgeous that is. And it was nice. It was nice to explore. It was nice to stay in the state and go to someplace I had never seen before that you've only heard about.
Nice to be able to drive.
The Redwood Forest.
Nice to be able just to get in the car and drive, you know what I mean? And then not have to figure out, take a plane or anything like that. Just get in and go and come back whenever you want.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I always, my grandparents always dragged me on long car trips when I was a kid. And I really dig that. I actually like the driving and the traveling and the just looking at, I mean, I liked traveling. There was a place right at the southern portion of the Avenue of the Giants where all those trees start, a store called Legend of Bigfoot. And it was exactly what you thought it would be. And apparently that's far enough north for them to say, yeah, Sasquatch comes down here. You bet. And they're selling tchotchkes and it's bright signs. And it's the colors made it look like maybe Bigfoot was a Rastafarian because of the way it looked like, or a stoner. I couldn't quite make out the theme. We didn't stop, but it was like, oh, this is the kind of stuff I grew up with, driving around and my grandfather going, let's go over there and show Lawrence the two-headed snake. What do you say? It was freaking Clark Griswold all over
what's
again.
What's the farthest trip you've ever taken in a car?
For me?
Yeah, for anybody. What's the farthest family trip or farthest trip you've ever been in?
I can tell you right off the top of my head, my grandparents when I was younger, would take us on trips. It usually had other motives. And there was a year where my older sister, Melinda, got into Interlochen Music Camp when she was in high school, which was a big deal. And we drove from Brownwood, Texas, where my grandparents lived, to Interlochen, Michigan. And
I thought you meant in the Alps. Interlochen.
No. They just called it that.
How long of a trip's that? 2 days?
You mean to get up there?
Yeah.
Well, my grandmother was a history teacher, and the fact that we had to stop at every historical marker and battleground from the Civil War along the way, it was, I don't know, it was probably 3 or 4 days up there and then the same back, because we had to stop through, you know, and took different routes going both ways. We also drove once from Brownwood, Texas to Valley Forge, where she was doing a teacher's conference. But my grandfather and I flew back. So yeah, long freaking car trips.
Wow, that's amazing. When I was a kid, that's what we used to do. We used to, we didn't have any money. My dad, you know, worked for the post office. The only kind of vacation you can have on a civil servant's income is, especially when you have 7 kids, is to pack everybody in the station wagon and drive. And, you know, we weren't concerned with things like seatbelts.
Hell no.
In that day?
Seatbelts?
No.
Yeah, you didn't even know where they were. Remember?
The back window above the back seat? Back of the station wagon?
Oh, we had the back back.
You had the back back.
At first I had the front. I was in between my mom and dad. It was a bench seat, right, in the front of a station wagon back then. A Chevrolet station wagon, white. I can totally visualize it. And so they were in the front and I was in the middle between them. There was no seatbelt there.
No.
If we would have hit something, I would have been a projectile. Oh. And then 3 behind me or 4 behind me. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then 2 in the very back in the on the wheel wells in the very back with the window that went down. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Staring back at giant trucks careening at you.
I remember my old man, like we were playing like midget football, you know, you're like 10, 11 year olds. Each team had their own field where they'd practice on. But like once every couple of weeks where they do a scrimmage and we'd all meet at our field and then drive over to the other field to play the team. Well, he would put like 10 year olds in the back of his truck.
In the bed.
And yeah. I'm not talking sitting on the bed of the truck, sitting on the rail and like holding up and drive like down Main Street across town.
Yep. Josh. Yeah. Josh. It's little person football.
That was the MFL. That's what it was called, the Midget Football League.
Did anybody ever, as a kid, if it wasn't a station wagon, if it was a sedan, spend some time napping in the back window above the back seat?
I never slept in there.
Oh, in the package window of a
just
sedan?
A regular sedan.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Oh God!
Yeah, I did.
But I remember remember the commercials in the like around 1970, 71. See the USA in a Chevrolet. Yeah, we saw it backwards.
Yeah,
everything we saw.
I learned to have a great affection for Holiday Inns and Howard Johnson's.
Hojo's.
What were those four wheel drive AMC cars called? The ones that had like four wheel drive, but they were a four door with a hatchback.
Oh,
four wheel drive hatchback?
Yeah, AMC.
Not the Pacer?
No,
that was a little economy car.
Javelin?
Maybe it wasn't a four.
I know what you're talking about.
Grain side. It was like the 80s. My uncle had one of those, and we drove from Butler, Pennsylvania to Florida with us in the back. Of that me and my cousin in the back of that, and that was like half of the ceiling was a window going down.
The sloping hatchback, the Eagle, AMC Eagle.
Yes, the AMC Eagle.
Oh my God! That's blowing my mind. I haven't thought of that in forever.
So here's a fun one.
What about Josh? What's the longest trip you ever took?
Right. I've done it twice. I've driven from Pittsburgh to LA.
Oh,
I did that, and the one time I did it in like 2.5 days. So that's like 3,000 miles.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I used to drive, when I would go back to college from Odessa, I would drive Odessa to LA in right around 21 hours nonstop because I just wanted to get out of Odessa. Say,
yeah. That your foot gets a little heavy when you're going through the desert and it's like, am I even moving? I don't even know what's, because there's nothing, you know, it's
in
just
Arizona,
straight.
Man. Yeah, New Mexico straight. Into Arizona, it's like it's like the background of Warner Brothers cartoons in The Roadrunner, where it's the same background going by over and over.
It's like you're watching the background of the Super Mario game. It's just,
yeah,
it's
I just saw that cactus like a second ago, didn't I?
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess my longest would probably have to be Indianapolis to LA. Yeah. 24 years ago. But I remember once, here's another safe way to travel. We had a pickup truck with a hop cap on the back. You know what that is?
You
can take it off and on. You clamp it down with C-clamps.
Yep.
And you have that thing with the gate on the top and then the tailgate on the pickup.
Yeah, that was always good for my other granddaddy's hunting dogs in the winter time.
We had one of those, and I remember driving to West Virginia from Indianapolis to West Virginia to visit my sister who lived in Charleston, West Virginia. And then on the way back, I was tired, you know, and I'm guessing 12 at that point, 12, 13. And it was me and my mom and dad. And so we had an inflatable mattress or, a pad back there that you could sleep on. And I went back there and I slept like all the way home, pretty much, you know, long chunk for hours. And it was like a 6-hour drive, I guess. And towards the end of it, man, I had to pee. Oh, God, I had to pee. Could not wait. And they couldn't hear me, you know, on the highway. Hey, pee. And so when we pulled up home in the driveway, I'm like, I got to go. So as soon as we got home, I, throw the top, window up, the latch up, jump out of there and run inside. And I pee immediately. What didn't occur to me was that my parents then came around the back and they see I'm not in there. Like, oh God, we lost him on the freeway. No.
So, no.
That was a little dramatic.
Well, see, I think that's why the three of us, I think a lot of people of our generation did stuff like that. And that's why like National Lampoon's Vacation feels like such a classic, right? Because that there is some, no matter how outrageous that is, there's so many things that are close to that happening along the way that ultimately you're going to break down somewhere. You're going to end up with, you know, a really crappy part of town because your grandfather can't quite read the map and they're screaming at each other in the front seat.
It's hilarious. I just had a flashback of memory when this is before we were married. I bought my parents. My parents were going to get rid of their car. So I decided I needed a car. I just buy it off them. It was better than the piece of shit I had. And I was like, I'll just drive it back to LA. Well, this is when I was dating Cindy. So I was like, do you want to go? And she's like, sure. So it was me and her we went for like a week to hang out with my parents. And then we drove back across the country. Well, coming through Oklahoma City, there was right in Oklahoma City, there was an interchange that I had to get on. I don't know if it was, I don't think it was the 10 yet, but it was something, it was somewhere where it was going to take us down through Texas to pick up the 10. Mm-hmm. And right at that intersection, mind you, this was before iPhones and this is before navigation systems. We had a triptych, you know what I mean? So it was like,
sure, AAA.
Yep, you had highlighted triptych that you followed, but you remember those things as they were long and thin. And if you got off of that map, you didn't know where the fuck you were because it wasn't a big map.
You didn't see the rest of it, right?
Right. So, well, right when we get to that interchange, there was like an accident or something and we couldn't get onto that freeway. So I had to merge onto another freeway and I had no effing clue where the hell I was because I was on a freeway and I'm going through Oklahoma City and I got super lost and I'm just driving and I'm like, I don't know what the hell to do. Do we stop at a gas station? And Cindy's for some reason, I go, Sydney, look in the glove box and see if there's a map of the USA.
The entire United States.
So she opens up the glove box, and sure enough, because I think I had remembered it was in there, there is a gigantic map of the USA. So I pull over, and I look, and I find Oklahoma City, and there's this little, like, you know how they, not like, it's like a rural, it was just like a red line that said number 5.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And it was like one of those,
it was county road.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Exactly. But it was like,
we'd call it farm to market road.
It was just one of those. And somehow, or no, what happened is I was driving along and I saw an old rusted sign that said like number 3. And I'm like, fuck, pull that map out. See if you find number 3 around Oklahoma City. And sure enough, it was on there. And we stayed on the little red line. And you'd only see like one sign every like 20 minutes. It would be all rusted with bolt holes in it. And you'd be like, okay. And it finally got us back to the right freeway. We used a map of the United States.
Wow. God bless cartographers.
Exactly.
Yeah, and when I first got to, we talked about this before, when I first got to LA in 97, I was working at Y107 and they'd say, okay, and you know that's out in Pasadena. And they'd say, Andy, this Saturday, can you go do this appearance, this Guinness appearance in, down in Costa Mesa or, you know, some place I'd never been before. And I'm sure. And they would print out page after page from the Thomas Guide.
Oh,
like here you go.
You can live out here at that time I think you got here like a year or two before me, but like right at that time, you couldn't live in LA without a Thomas Guide.
You just couldn't do it. You needed it in the car.
Yeah. It was on the floorboard of every regular commuter's car.
Yeah. And I remember
in terrible shape.
Oh, totally. They were like $70 a piece or something. But I remember like my brother coming out and looking at him, like laughing, like, why do you have this? I'm like, you don't understand how many roads there are in the county of Los Angeles.
It's ridiculous.
Gigantic.
And I took the big map that was in there, and I actually, in the apartment that we rented, I put it up on the door so that I could, like, watch the news, and they'd say, today in Pacoima, I'm like, where's that? Let's find out where that is, and try to get a feel for where everything is.
I still don't know where, but they, like, a town will call it, and I'm like, I have no idea where the hell that is.
Yeah, there's communities come up all the time with, you know, people like working on the radio station, and you hear from people who are like, I'm in Colton. And I'm like, awesome. Where the hell's that? I mean, I'm constantly looking up stuff just to go, okay, Inland Empire right before San Bernardino. Okay, got it. There's so many freaking communities and so many different little villages and unincorporated areas and divisions that have their own names and their own zip code, even and they're part of a different city. It's insane.
Yeah. People call in like, I'm in San Jacinto.
Oh, okay.
So is meth your only occupation? There's so many places. Yeah. People would call in. I'm in 29 Palms and so forth. Then you go drive. You drive out and you see these places. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. But what you did this last week, Larry, is what we started doing over the last, and Laura's lived here her entire life. She's from San Diego, and she has said, you know, I want to go to Big Sur. I've never been there. So we went there a couple years ago for her 40th and really enjoyed it. Yeah. It was really, and going out to the Sequoias for the first time and going up to Tahoe for the first time a couple years ago. It's so rewarding to find places in this state. Right. This state is, it's one of the most beautiful places on earth. And Big Sur, man, I've seen a lot of coastlines. I've seen coastlines in Europe and in Australia and, you know, around the world. And that shit rivals any place on the planet.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It changes so dramatically. And you would think that once you've seen one coastline, whatever. But even back in Mendocino, that one is even, you know, as you go further north above the Bay Area, and it's like it's lots of cliffs and incredibly rocky and a volatile surf, and there's like a constant spray going on, and you know, a few little areas of beach, but it's just super dramatic and very different than what you're used to. And And as beautiful as the last thing you saw. And then you just, you know, go inland and there's this amazing forest with these just majestic trees that stretch to the heavens that are, and the interior of that is its own, you know, environment. You know, it's just everything that's shrouded from sunlight. You're practically blocked from any light coming in. And so there's just this moist dankness going on, if you know what I mean. In my pants.
Moist dankness. We found it.
Nobody got sick of me saying, oh, man. Indoor is amazing.
Is it moist,
isn't
in
it?
Here? It's so dank.
No, I made a lot of. Oh God, I'm losing my mind on my Star Wars Ewoks. I made a lot of Ewoks jokes along the redwoods, and nobody appreciated those.
I would have.
Thanks, Josh.
By the way, a quick sidebar. You guys watch a Mandalorian?
Yes.
I'm saving it for the holidays. Alex and I are going to power through.
I'm like two episodes back, so don't.
That's cool. I won't go into detail, but I'm watching it with Silas, who's, you know, past 10 now. This last episode, I'm like, this is really super violent.
Yeah. Oh, really? Because the first season was very mild.
Very mild. Very mild.
It was like a 70s Western. It was like, you know, lots of shooting, nobody getting hurt or no alien
season,
blood.
Second season's been fun for some of the, there, you know, a couple of you know, people pop up. Is it a spoiler if I tell you some of the actors that are involved in it?
I think I kind of know, but because I
know nothing. I've been blissfully ignorant. I have not looked at memes. I have avoided it. So please save it. Unless you want to destroy everything that I hate doing.
No, I was just going to talk about the actors who play. Is that acceptable? Just one thing. I hearing his voice, the Mandalorian, from the very first episode, I'm like, you know what that sounds like to me?
Danny DeVito.
It sounds like
Gilbert Gottfried.
No, what's his name? Was in Deadwood.
Timothy Oliphant?
Timothy Oliphant. I thought, that sounds like Timothy Oliphant. Come to find out, it's the Mandalorian's played by that guy that was in Game of Thrones.
Right. And more maybe prominently in Narcos, the first few seasons.
Right, exactly. But his voice sounded so much like Timothy Oliphant. I'm like, oh, wow. Then, sure enough, second season, Timothy Oliphant has an episode. So it was, maybe I wasn't the only one who thought that, and that's what brought that about. But, this last episode that we just saw, I'm like, I might have to screen these because this one is some really nasty hand-to-hand combat.
Do you feel like that show's starting to follow a little bit of a pattern, though?
It totally has a pattern.
It's like,
it has a pattern.
I
don't want to tell you the pattern.
I need.
He hasn't watched anything. Right. We won't say the pattern. But yes, there is a pattern of, I'll just say it in very vague terms. Each one is its own adventure. Each episode is its own adventure.
Yeah. It was always intended to be extremely episodic with just the barest thread of, you know, the backstory.
Yeah,
that's going on.
It's like I used to hate Perry Mason when my dad would watch it because you could take every Perry Mason episode and boil it down to this exchange. I say he's the one who's responsible for the crime. I object, Your Honor. I'll have to admit, Mr. Mason, I don't see where you're going. Your Honor, if you grant me just a little more latitude, I'll show you what I'm getting at. All right, proceed, but you're on thin ice. That's in every fucking episode!
The one thing about the shows is, there's always a little bit of that retro porn in there. You know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, look, they got speeder bikes. I remember those from Return of the Jedi. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, every episode, there's something in there like, ooh, I remember that guy.
And it's like, you know, in Scooby-Doo as well, the villain is the first person that they meet who isn't a cop.
Right. Yeah.
At any rate, that aside, it's incredibly fun to watch.
Yeah, it's good.
And
yeah.
There are so many moments. There's a moment in every episode where it's like, okay, that's badass. That's yeah, just, yeah. That's really fun. Yeah. And we've thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah, I recommend it.
I think because it's Disney Plus, they're trying to straddle that line, because I remember in the first season feeling like, this is really good and fun to watch. It is also exactly what you guys said. It is clearly designed to be. It was a Western. I mean, you know, the kind of the shootouts in the
yep.
in the town square and the, you know, and it's a sci-fi Western, and it felt
Star Wars was a Western. I yeah. mean, let's be honest. You know,
yeah, but this really embraced that episodic quality to it, where, you know, and then it was the, you know, protecting the village, and there's all the cliches are in there, and yet it was still really satisfying, and they gave you just enough teases and cliffhangers to kind of want to see what would happen next. Right. But because it's Disney Plus, it's not going to maybe be. I'm surprised to hear that you feel like it was a little extra violent, this most recent one.
Just this most recent one. Yeah. And once you plow through these episodes, we can have a chat about, you'll know which episode I'm talking about in season two. Yeah. That was, holy God, that's a bunch.
Are you up to date? Are you at?
It wasn't quite Red Wedding, you know, right. from Game of Thrones, but it was some ass kicking.
Well,
for sure.
I'm
by somebody that talking about these little Easter eggs, these fun things that you find that make you have that moment of, that's such a cool Star right, Wars moment. Right. It's by someone of that ilk. So I'll let that go. So
well, it might come as a refreshing change, because I'm because it was so recommended to me by people whose opinion I respect. I am catching up on The Boys on Prime Video.
I just saw that. I was on Prime Video this morning. I told my wife, I'm like, I want to start watching that.
And who's it is so, don't even let Owen be in the house when really? You're watching that, Josh. I mean, this most recent episode, they were in like this, I won't ruin anything, but there's a lot of action going on in this. It's a front for a place where these people are being experimented on with superpowers that have gone wrong, and they're trying to keep them under control. And there's a scene where a guy who's, experiment gave him an enormous penis by accident, and at one point the penis breaks through glass and tries to choke a guy to death while the guy that the appendage belongs to is already dead, so it's got a mind of its own. That's where this show goes. So I think a little mild violence with the Mandalorian is going to be a welcome respite from heads exploding and guts spilling out, and just so extreme. It is so extreme, and yet I can't look away. But honestly, make sure Owen's in another state when you're watching the show.
Fellas, some things to catch up on.
Okay.
What's up?
That's right. Oh, my God. And I have email response, I believe, to where you're headed here.
Oh, good. Well, I just want to tell you, the fascia is done. It's done.
Fascia is done, as in we'll never have to talk about it again.
Is this the fascia wind-up episode?
I'm assuming you'll ask about it from time to time. You'll ask in on it.
When have we ever asked about it?
It's I feel it. You know, sometimes there's an unspoken bond when people know each other as long as we do. It's like we can complete each other's sentences, and I know when you guys.
I feel like I need to send
it.
Your fascia a Christmas card.
Yeah. Fajr Christmas, give me your money.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, no.
But what's great about it, I don't have any real Guttergate things to divulge at this point, but I will tell you that this project has made me realize that I need another tool. And I've ordered it. It should be arriving any moment.
I think you're just looking for excuses.
Exactly. Buy tools.
It's not an expensive tool. It was less than $20.
Well, are you still going bungee and not hoist?
Yeah.
Or are you going hoist?
As a gutter hoist.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be hoist. It's going to be a little. I think it's going to be a little bungee. It's actually probably a sitch where I can, secure one end with like a single screw, and then go to the other end and do it right, and then come back down and that kind of thing.
You
know, right.
Going to do it yourself. You have.
I am going to do it myself.
All right.
One of the things that
you
I
are
had
firm
issue
in
with,
your convictions.
I am convicted that this is the way to go. One of the things that I had a problem with, though, is you've both seen now the automotive pavilion. Right?
Yes, well, Andy.
Well,
and admired it. Okay, is that what you're looking for? Yeah. Is that what the big pause was for?
One of the big rafters, the three sideways rafters of this, it's about 9 inches away from the fascia. So imagine if you put a 4-inch gutter against that, you then have 5 inches where you can try to swing a hammer or, use a ratchet to get the anchors into to hold up the gutter. It's impossible in those 5 inches. You can't get a drill up there. You can't do anything. How are you going to do that? I investigated, and I've discovered the tool that's going to help me do this.
Oh, is it an angled something?
An angled
it
drill
bit? It is an angled something. How did you know it's an angled something?
Well, because that's the only way you can do it in a confined space like that, unless you get, elves to go up there.
Or unless you tear down the carport.
I'm sorry, little right. people. Little right. people.
midget footballers. It's one of those things that you take your impact driver, right?
Yeah.
And you put it in like it's a bit, and it goes down, and it's a right angle at the end.
Yep.
And it has the little thing, so you just go, and you can do it at an angle like that. It's one of those tools you don't need very often.
But when you do, you're going to
But when you do, that's what you fucking need.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations. So
I'm excited. That's exciting.
You sound pretty excited. So
I knew that you'd be excited about that.
Yeah.
And then the other a bit of thing.
The best part is when your friend gets one, that means you don't have to. So now I can just, my situation comes up once in my lifetime that I need to use that, I'll just borrow yours and I can give it back.
Yeah.
There's a whole section in Andy's garage of tools I've used once for about 2 hours.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. There's some very specialized. This one to cut cement siding, and I'm not going to use that for anything else ever. But this is the pattern that Josh has. Ridicule me and denigrate me publicly for these things that I bought. Uh-huh. And then, 6 months
and then
later.
And then off the record, I ask you.
Hey, dude, you still have that thing? Because I got this thing.
But here's the best part, though. Every time I do that, I never actually follow through with it because I think better of actually doing it. I what I'm doing is I'm planning to do it. And then I talk myself out and go, no, just go buy it. You don't need to build that. So my last project was that, remember, I wanted to build a mirror because I had an old mirror frame with a mirror in it. But
like the space station mirror, the Soviet space station?
I was going to build a space station. Exactly. And then I figured I couldn't get it out of my backyard. I'm like, what am I going to do with it? But I was going to make a mirror. Then I think I asked you if you had a router because I wanted to.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I love a you know what I just, sometimes I'll watch. I'll watch woodworking videos on YouTube.
Hold on real quick. I watched PBS this morning. I was watching like the Woodsmith show. And the guy built an effing wooden bike. Then the second project was a boomerang. He built a boomerang. And then he stained it and everything. And then he goes outside and throws it. Sure enough, the thing worked perfectly. I was amazed. I'm like, who the hell builds an effing boomerang? You just buy one for $10.
There is a show on Netflix that they keep trying to force in my face, maybe because Netflix, like Google and some other search engines know what you talk about, even when you're not online. And so they've just heard me residually talking about, your do-it-yourself project. But it's called The Repair Shop. It's a British show called The Repair Shop, where it's literally just people. It's kind of like the Great British Bake Off for fixing things, apparently.
Nice.
And it sounds very soothing and lovely. And maybe something that you could masturbate to, Andy. The Repair Shop on Netflix. Enjoy.
I love that shit. No, I watched one the other day.
Oh, did you?
Somebody using, not one of those, but a woodworking tip do-it-yourselfer tip video. This one was cutting didos. Dados. Yeah. Cutting dados using a circular saw. Yep. It was fucking great.
Oh, yeah, you watch.
You know what a dado is? Larry's looking it up.
It's a joint. A dado is.
No, I'm not.
No, it's like if you.
Porn while you guys are doing this.
Let's say, have you ever seen like cross braces for a piece of furniture? They go in an X like that, and part of each of them is cut out so they fit together. Yep. Like a perfect, you know, X, and like it's one piece. It's how you cut those notches in either side of it. It's basically cutting a notch in something. And what they had you do is you marked where you were going to do it, and then you put like a piece of wood and clamped it on each side for how far the frame of the bottom of the saw was. So you just cut one side, cut the other side, and then you do a bunch of cuts in between. Knock that out with a chisel, and then you just go back and forth. It makes it a perfect, looks like you did it with a router. It's a perfect little notch, and there's so many different cool angles you could use that for making frames, like for a mirror, space station, or you know, anything that you wanted to do like that. And I'm like, oh, God, that's a trick. Now I know how to do that.
Here's the problem
next
with
time I'm
going
to see
though.
Something, and I'm going to know how to do
here's
that.
Here's the problem with those. They're so great to watch, and you're like, oh, man. And watching them do it, and you're learning, I'm like, that's not that hard. It completely makes sense. And the way they show it, it doesn't look hard. You're like, I can do that. But the problem is I don't have every $1,500 tool and saw that they use to do all this shit. And, you know, they're doing it for a living. So I can't go out to my wife and be like, I need a table saw that I can use three times a year to make a joint and then, you know, to make a mirror and then break it.
There are a few tools that I really wish I had that I just don't have the space for. I'll tell you what they are. One's a drill press. Yep. To be able to make a perfectly perpendicular or whatever angle hole in something, it would be really great to have a drill press. So if you're looking for a gift idea for me this holiday, I've dropped that. Another one.
I thought you said Laura never listens to this podcast, so I don't know who you're talking to right now.
I thought you guys cared.
Oh, boy.
Anyhow, the other one is a bench grinder. You know, like to sharpen things and buff things. Oh, gosh. There were so many times I wish I had a bench grinder. That'd be great.
My old man had one of those. Never used
it. But it would make a lot. Oh, my dad used it all the time on everything. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Heaps. Sharpening the lawnmower blade, sharpening knives, all sorts of shit.
Get a knife sharpener.
I have a knife sharpener, but it doesn't work
grinder?
Like doesn't,
Jesus Christ. It doesn't work like a bench grinder. Sword?
like you have a you have a tool that's been left out and you know it's all rusty and stuff. You take that into the buffing thing. Oh my God, it's brand new.
Yeah, it's definitely you could use that to buff some tools.
But I don't like the way you said that. But having a table like a portable table where you could put a router underneath it or have a table saw. Gosh,
I want a router. I don't know. I feel like at some point in time in my life, I'm going to get a router. I don't know why, because I know that I've come back to this situation on like a couple of different projects going, if I had a router, I could do that. And then I'm like, well, I'm never going to use it again. And then like 6 months later, I'm like, well, I think I would need a router to do that. So I think at some point in time, I'm just going to buckle down and buy a router.
You need a router.
Use it once and then be like, oh man, why do I have this fucking router?
I don't know if I've ever seen Larry less interested.
Yeah, I'm thinking about this too. I still have some people who are asking me for my Christmas list, and I'm thinking it's about time I went ahead and asked for a Phillips head screwdriver. It's about time I have one. Because it's trying to work with just a flathead all the time. Yeah. It's just like so frustrating. And I, you know, if I had a Phillips head and then I got a, you know, that screw comes in and when I'm putting together, you know, a piece of furniture, it's like,
well, hey,
I got it.
If you
need
it.
Doubles your possibilities.
Yeah. And if you need like, if it's a really tight angle or something like that, you can hit up Andy and maybe use that bend thing.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? We got a Christmas tree.
A real one?
Got a real one. Yeah, we got that on Thursday night.
Oh, very cool.
Pretty excited about
it. Are you excited? I can't tell. You sound like...
I am. I'm very excited about it.
You sound a little bit like concerned.
Well, I'm trying to keep a lid on it. because otherwise I you know,
the Christmas spirit will spew out of you.
Yes,
you'll get a money shot of Christmas spirit.
God, which is just like tinsel and confetti.
Yeah. Eggnog. Yeah.
With sprinkles.
Stop.
Okay.
You're sullying.
We are. The holiday season is just
and I won't name the names of the places, but we go to, because we get a flyer in the mail for this place we'd gone to before. And it's like $10 off for if you spend over $60. So I'm like, oh, okay, great. So I'm thinking, wow, go down there and maybe $50 for a Christmas tree. Well, No. The ones that, wouldn't look puny in our living room are, the ones that are 6 or 7 feet tall. And so those are $120. And they're ugly. They're not in good shape. There are none of them that I see that I'm like, this is a nice tree. So that's what the guy tells me. It's $120 to start with that. And they don't have any more. And they're not going to get any more in until later that night or the next morning or whatever. I'm like, okay, well, thanks. Well, maybe we'll see you later. And take the, heartbroken kids and get them in the back in the car. Daddy's not getting a tree.
There's no Christmas this year.
Get in the car and I'll tell you.
Christmas is canceled.
So we're going to go to another place, but I'm just not going to fucking spend $120 on a dried out twig. So we go to the next place. And this place.
That's what she said, by the way.
Oh, my. Oh, my God. This place, number one, we park our car and walk in, and they're like, would you mind driving in? We're like,
what?
Okay. It's supposed to be drive in. It's just safer to drive in. Then you can get out of your car and walk around. I'm like, so having one more vehicle in here while everybody's walking around is safer than me parking out there and walking in when there's nobody else parked in here. Anywho, I just said, before we do, what's the starting price of a six foot, 7 foot tree? And I said, oh well, they start at $179.95. I'm like, okay, good to know. And we get back in the car and we drive out the other direction. There's no fucking way I'm paying that much money. Go to a third place. And I'll tell you who it was. Tina's Trees.
Oh,
and I go in there.
Tina's Trees,
most beautiful tree we had seen the entire time. There are a bunch of them, $104, and it was lovely. And they were helpful and attentive, and got me in, got me out, tied it to the top of my car, and I drove that fucker across town, tied to the top of my car. I'm feeling very Clark Griswold, and got it home, and it was a joy, and had a wonderful time on Thursday night trimming the tree with the young ones.
So very lovely.
Thumbs up to Tina's Trees.
Yeah. Thumbs up, Tina.
Shout out, Tina's Trees.
Everybody do a thumbs funny. Up to Tina.
driving through the Bay Area on, I guess it was the last, when did we leave? Sunday. It just happened to be a night, it looked like, where a lot of people went out and got their tree because, a car would go by and it was the same thing. It's like, oh, look, they got their Christmas tree. And then it was like, oh, there's another one. Oh, crap, there's another one. It was just like, must be a special on trees tonight because everybody in the Bay Area was grabbing theirs at the same time and driving it on the freeway.
Or do you think because everybody's in panic buying mode, everybody just went and got a fucking tree to make sure they had one for Christmas?
Yeah, there's shortage.
Now there's no trees left because some guys got six trees. In his basement.
Somebody somewhere is going to be making a tree out of toilet paper that they've hoarded.
They're wiping their ass with the Christmas tree.
Oh, toilet paper tree. Oh, damn. What a great idea.
Oh. I should have thought of that. Hey, fellas, we've got some calls.
Right. Yeah, and we got some YAFSAC emails coming up.
What do you want to do? You want to do the YAF line or the YAFSAC?
How many calls you got there, Andy?
I've got three of them.
All right. Tell you what, let me roll through. We didn't get that much response, at least in the email, which is yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. If you want to throw your thoughts in our sack, that's where you do it. Hello to Ryan listening in Portland, Oregon, who says, gutter naming idea? Question mark. Okay, guys, how about this? Gutterpalooza.
Ooh.
All right, hold your thoughts until we move
on.
I like that. Here's one from Paul. Gutter project name is the subject line. Hey, Yaffers, here's a name that can be used for the infamous gutter project. Seeing that there was a gutter in there previously, I suggest utter gutter. Ha! See what I did there? A fine twist on the word other. Yep, a nice dad joke for you. Utter gutter.
Utter gutter. It's
and
the
then
gutter.
We've got a very long email that I will attempt to edit as I go. It's only somewhat connected to what we're doing here. It covers a lot of ground, so bear with me, guys. Hello, my artificial friends. Jared from Anaheim here.
Jared!
A few random responses from last week's show. We didn't have a turkey or ham for Thanksgiving. We did stuffed pork chops. We used hot Italian sausage, pecans, and cranberries for the stuffing.
Wow.
Yummy.
Yeah.
We might have a call from George, so I'm going to skip this next line here about yams. Worst Assure sauce. Just say those two words together. Worst Assure. Thank you. When it comes to calling something dash gate.
Oh, as but a, you wait. No, you said it as a joke when you said we're sisters, sisters.
Yeah. No, it was it was the old Three Stooges thing right. that I was doing. But he wanted to make sure we knew how to say it.
It's Worcestershire.
It's Worcestershire.
It's unless you're from New England, it's Worcester. When it comes to calling something gate as a shorthand for a scandal, it's the height of laziness and is a creative abyss. Watergate was called that because that was the name of the hotel, right? So grafting gate on the end makes zero sense. Now, Jared, you had me here and I was ready to move on. And then the following sentence. But since it's utter nonsense, lazy and uncreative, I give my blessing to Guttergate because it is perfectly in line with the standard Andy maintains for the show. And Andy, don't get so butthurt about Neil Young being criticized. He doesn't have to be an amazing guitar soloist to be a legendary songwriter. That's true. And then several...
Well, those are fucking fighting words.
And then there are several other exciting facts about the 12 Days of Christmas and many other things, but I think we hit on the meat of it there, Jared. Thank you so much. So we've got somebody standing up for Guttergate. We've got Gutterpalooza, and we've got Utter Gutter. And maybe now would be a good time to go to the calls just in case
there's
we have anybody weighing in.
Well, I think that there may be at one point or another somebody in here having something to say about it.
Creative abyss.
Creative abyss.
Laziness and a creative abyss. There's another t-shirt or mug
exactly.
slogan for you.
That's the name of this episode.
The creative abyss.
The creative abyss.
That's
Hold
pretty
on,
good.
Let me jot that down.
Way better than moist dankness.
Abyss.
Okay. The creative abyss of moist dankness.
Moist dankness sounds like a planet in Star Wars, doesn't it? We need to get to moist dankness.
All right, you guys ready?
Yep.
This one's from the 909. Let's see what they have to say.
Gentlemen, this is Ron from Claremont. Hey, I think it's great that you guys have two regular parts of the show now. We have Let's Make Fleeger Puke and What's Andy Working On This Week?
Yeah.
Period. I'm hoping for another big reveal like the shed or the wall reveal. But, of course, with the pandemic, you may have to Facebook Live this exciting gutter reveal. And you're asking for advice. Aren't you like one step away from Corolla? Maybe you can have Gina text him. Maybe he can give you some expert advice on working on a gutter.
Oh, wow.
I don't know, man. Just stay safe. I just have a bad feeling about this one. All right, you guys take it easy.
Stay safe, he says. He doesn't have a lot of faith in you, Andy.
Didn't Corolla?
Yeah. Well,
didn't Corolla once already give you some tips on how to remove a mirror from your bathroom?
He did, yeah. It was one of those big, you know, wall, you know, size mirrors that was, he told me how, what to expect behind there, and he was right. He was entirely right.
Yeah. Well, that's not a bad place to get some advice.
He knows his business. That's faux show.
We're talking about Adam Carolla, of course, who has experience as a carpenter and handyman back in his day and still very handy from what I hear.
We're not talking about the Toyota Corolla.
Right.
No.
Which is what I thought at first when you just said Corolla. You're one step away from a Corolla. What does that have to do with anything, Josh?
No, but he totally knows his business about that. And I will tell you this, because I did put up a gutter before, right? So you have heard that
many times.
I sliced my hand on that sheet metal.
I can imagine.
That it sucks. Is sharp as shit.
Yep. And it's and thick, too, time, so that's like a wound. That's a wound.
But were you not wearing work gloves for that? Didn't you realize that might
he
not
had the gloves
happen?
On. He was naked, though.
No. Oh. Weird.
He had three gloves on.
it's brutal, man. And, you know, that requires its own set of skills.
Josh is very happy with that one. He had three gloves on. So there's a lefty and a righty. Which one did you...
Yes, we
it's
get
a child's
it.
Mitten, actually.
I'm going to leave now. I've entertained myself. I don't need you guys anymore.
They call that a sock, I believe.
I think it's a child's mitten.
anywho, I had to learn how to
this
grip
whole show's
it.
In the gutter, yeah, by the way.
Right, there just, you go.
Do you know how to rivet?
No.
You ever drive a rivet?
Rivet. Like that.
Rivet.
Oh, fuck.
Rivet. All right. I'll play you another phone call, but Larry, I need you to play the intro.
All right. Low energy mighty art. Low energy mighty. That'd be a great time to start the call.
Hey, Yappers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. As far as Guttergate, my recommendation is continuous steel gutters. And that's all I have to say about that. Talk to you later. That was Low
No way, you went too fast.
Oh, damn it.
Talk to you later. Oh, yeah. I'm about halfway done with the sewer line part of this project. The hard part is done. Later. That was the
So what was it? Continuous gutters?
Continuous steel gutters?
Continuous steel gutters.
Did that help you at all?
You know what the weird thing is? Where was I driving? Oh, I was driving driving to Trader Joe's. And yesterday evening, I get in the car and I'm behind this truck and it's a mom and pop gutter company. And I'm like, I should call them and get a free estimate and see how much it would be.
Ask for an application.
Oh, I'm telling you. I'm going to tell you. Fuck yourself.
Hey, I got three socks. You need anybody to work there? I got three gloves. You hired?
You're such a tool. I'll tell you two things about it. Number one, I think that would be a good idea to have somebody else do it. And I don't have a problem with letting someone else do it. But the other thing I'm telling you is I'm not sending the tool back. Especially even if I have somebody else do it, I'm keeping the tool.
Yep.
Oh, God. You're such an asshole. All right. You guys ready for this?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's see here.
This is George from Long Beach reporting on my assignment. The question was, what is the difference between a yam and a sweet potato? Well, I would wager that you have not actually ever seen a true yam because what they sell in local stores as yams are actually sweet potatoes. They market them as yams so they're not confused with regular potatoes. And sweet potatoes are quite similar to regular potatoes. They have a skin that's either red, brown, or purple. And the flesh, much like a regular potato, has the same consistency and can be white, yellow, orange, or purple. The orange variety was bred in the 1930s. It is quite popular today. Right. Now, an actual yam comes from Africa. And you can tell because the skin looks much like tree bark. And it's much more fibrous flesh. So chances are you've never actually seen a yam. So the answer to the question in practical terms is there is no difference. Until my next assignment, this is George from Long Beach.
I got some comments on here.
Be kind, man. He did some research there.
But how does he know?
We did assign him.
How does he know what vegetables I've seen in my life?
Oh, I see.
Wow. And what happens when you go into a store, right? And they have yams, and it says yams, and then
you
right
have to see the fucking
on,
manager
right,
right there.
It says sweet potatoes, and there's two different looking things. He's saying they're both the same thing.
Take a picture.
I'm going to go find yams and sweet potatoes in the same thing. So they have to be two different things, right?
Well, did one of them have fibrous flesh? Did you feel the flesh?
I think the yams are pointier.
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Yams are pointier.
You know what? I'm pretty sure you don't know.
Yeah.
I'm slightly annoyed that he thinks he knows what vegetables I've seen in my lifetime.
What this sounds like to me, though, to be honest, this kind of sounds more to me like a wasabi situation.
Well, hold on, the wasabi that we have in the United States isn't really wasabi.
That's what I'm saying. Most Americans have never had true wasabi. They've had a green horseradish,
and
they think that that's wasabi paste, but in fact, it's more expensive and harder to come by, and most of us have not had it.
I agree with you. I think there is probably a variation of a sweet potato that grocery stores or producers are calling yams, while they may not necessarily. You know what we've got here, guys. You know what we've got
here.
You beat me to it. It's yam game.
I thought at the exact same time. I was like, yam gate, and it's used right. This is a proper use of gate.
Yes.
It's a deceitful controversy that is causing people to, there's a rift amongst people now.
Do you know what they call the way someone walks when they're talking about a controversy about yams?
It's a gate gate.
It's a yam gate gate.
What?
What happens if they're going through your gate at the time, too? Are you doing a yam gate gate through your gate?
It's a yam gate 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 gate. I think we hit the high water mark here at the end.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Larry.
What?
Larry. 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 Oh, by the way, the phone line, if people want to call in, is 626-657-6428 or amok. PM hat.
And our email address, if you want to jump in the yapsack, is yourartificialfriends@gmail.com.
Where can people get a hold of you personally, Larry, if they want?
You can follow me on the Instagram. I am at the Larry Morgan, also on Facebook and barely on Twitter, if you want to.
Yeah, I've seen you on Twitter here lately. Josh, what about you?
Email me your yam pictures at joshuajfligert@gmail.com.
All right. I am Andy Chanley on the Instagram. I am DJ Andy Chanley on Facebook and Andy_Chanley on the Twitter.
And don't forget about that fine Christmas gift or holiday present that you can get for the loved one in your life who is a YAF fan, the coffee mug.
Yep.
That's it.
Or press.
Yeah.
We need to have a meeting. We need to have a midweek meeting where we hash out what the next
really?
Item's going to be.
Do we really?
No, not really.
Well, again, maybe we could ask our fans
what they want.
Our fans, our listeners, what they want. Anyway, yafcrap.com, yafcrap.com. And also, if you haven't yet, rate, review, and please subscribe. And we are available on all your favorite podcatchers right now, from the Apple Podcast to Spotify to Stitcher and Audio Boom. If you listen to podcasts at all, it's on there. Just search Your Artificial Friends.
We're all those places.
Yeah.
We're everywhere.
Wow.
Buddy.
I know.
That's a good thing you nudged me to get all that shit done. Wow.
Somebody's got to.
It's so true.
I'm just so happy we got an episode posted this
week. Exactly. We were on time this week. Weren't we?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was crazy to go out there and come out here and put that together. It's a satisfying feeling to do something on time.
And right.
Because quite often I get to a Friday and I feel like a fuck up. That's the way I live my life.
Mm-hmm. And the people that you know don't like you.
and treasured friendships in. Tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Lovely to see you, fellas. Right back at you.
Bye-bye.
All my best to you.
Bye-bye.